for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Welcome to another week of the Leologos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program, which is broadcast on 27 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. Where today we are welcoming another new station to our growing list of affiliates, WRFN, Radio Free Nashville, 103.7 and 107.1 FM in the Athens of the South, Nashville, Tennessee. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and on today's program, and as part of the Leologos interview series, we will have the pleasure of speaking with historian and political scientist Eric Toussaint, who is the spokesperson of the International Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt, or CADTM, based in Brussels, and scientific director of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt. Eric will talk to us about the findings of this commission and how these findings were essentially rejected by the Syriza-led government in Greece. He will also talk about the debt solutions on the table for Greece and will share with us his thoughts on the claims being made by economist and former finance minister of Greece, Yanis Varoufakis, in the latter's recent book regarding the negotiations between Greece and its lenders and the policy options Greece had at its disposal. This interview with Eric Toussaint is coming up next here on Leologos Radio and the Leologos Interview Series. The Leologos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Leologos Radio. Joining us today on Leologos Radio is historian and political scientist Eric Toussaint, the spokesperson of the CADTM International, the International Committee for the Abolition of Illegitimate Debt. He is the author or co-author of several books, including Bankocracy, The Life and Crimes of an Exemplary Man, Glance in the Rearview Mirror, Neoliberal Ideology from Its Origins to the Present, World Debt Figures 2015, and Debt, the IMF, and the World Bank, 60 Questions, 60 Answers. He is also the scientific coordinator of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt. Eric, welcome to our program today.
Happy to be with you today.
To get us started, you recently wrote a two-part series of articles looking at the actions of, on the one hand, the Syriza-led government in Greece under Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, and on the other hand, the actions of Yanis Varoufakis, the well-known economist and Greek finance minister under the Syriza-led government in the first half of 2015. Your critique comes following the publication of Varoufakis' recent book, Adults in a Room, where Varoufakis gives his account of the Greek crisis and his actions in supposedly standing up to the Troika. What were your general impressions of the book?
The book really should be read because it's a very useful testimony about what happened. I disagree with the orientation of Varoufakis, but it's a unique presentation of what happened before the election of 2015 and what happened in the first months leading to the capitulation beginning of July 2015.
In Adults in a Room, one of the claims apparently made by Yanis Varoufakis is that Greece was bankrupt in 2009 and that this set the stage for the so-called bailouts and austerity which followed. You dispute this claim, however. What do the facts show?
In reality, the main problem was on the side of the private debt, the debt of the Greek banks, but also non-financial corporation and households. There has been a process of a huge growth of the private debt just after the integration of Greece in the Eurozone, because the big French, German, Dutch and Belgian banks wanted to lend money to Greece, knowing that there were no risk of devaluation because of the monetary union. And they had a surplus of liquidity before the crisis of 2007-08 and after the crisis, because as you will remember, the Federal Reserve of the US and the European Central Bank inject a huge amount of liquidities in the banks. And these banks use that money to lend where they were having the better profits. And the countries of the periphery, like Greece, but also Portugal, Ireland and Spain, were more profitable than countries like Germany, France, or Benelux, or UK, or the US. So the main problem was the problem of a bubble of private credit, and but the problem for the Greek government of Papandreou end of 2009, and the problem for the French government of Sarkozy and the Merkel government of Germany was that it was impossible to say to the European public opinion, we have once more to bail out the private banks. So it was necessary for them to build a fake narrative of what was happening in Greece. And they told the public opinion that the main problem was the huge level of public debt and the incapacity of the Greek government to keep on financing is public external debt, when in reality they create this fake narrative to convince the public opinion to give money to the Greek government to bail out the Greek private banks and to keep on paying back from the private Greek sector to the private French and German and Dutch and Belgium private sector, mainly the banks, to keep on reimbursing them. So I disagree with the dominant narrative, and I disagree with Varoufakis, who is telling in his book that the Greek state or government was bankrupt. I think that the main problem so was the banks, and the Greek government had the choice to either bail out the private sector or to bailing in and to socialize the banks. And he decided not to socialize or to expropriate the private banks, and it was not only an error. The Greek government and the other government were accomplice with the big financial capital. In summary, it's the difference between what Varoufakis is saying and what I am saying. So the conclusion also are different, because I would say what the Greek government should have done would have been to suspend the payment of the external debt, including the public debt, for sure. When Varoufakis is saying the Greek state should have been recognized himself that it was bankrupt and should have sold public assets to the private sector, foreign private sector, including selling to the European, to the other European country and investor, the Greek banks. Do you see the difference?
Much has been said about Greece falsifying economic figures to enter the Eurozone, but you point out in your articles that Greece's debt and deficit statistics were falsified by the Papandreou government in 2009 and 2010, and by IMF employee Andreas Georgiou, who was placed in charge of the Greek statistical authority known as Elstat by the Papandreou government. How were the Greek debt and deficit figures falsified, and is this something that Varoufakis addresses in his book?
No, he doesn't say absolutely nothing about this falsification, but this falsification is an evidence. There is the Georgiou, the director of Elstat, has been sued, and at the beginning of August 2017, he was condemned. He was recognized guilty of falsification by the Greek justice. What happened? So that Papandreou and the leaders of the European Central Bank, at this moment it was Jean-Claude Trichet, very linked to the French banks, and as the general director of the IMF, we had at this epoch Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who was also very linked to the French banks. The Papandreou government asked the director of Elstat to add some debts, public debts, to the official public debt. And at the first step, Eurostat, the European organism of statistics, tell Elstat that it was an error to add this debt. But the Eurostat was also afterwards convinced by Trichet and by Barroso, the president of the European Commission, to be part of the falsification of the public Greek debt. So they increased the debt with more or less 15 to 20% in relation to the Greek GDP, so that the official figure reached the huge ratio of 125% of GDP for the public debt, and the budgetary fiscal deficit reached something like 13%. So with these figures, the Troika could say there is an emergency, we have to intervene to help the Greek government and to help the Greeks, and we, with 110 billion euros of loans to Greece, we will help the Greeks. So it was a real, in this case, I would say it was a complot. I am not a complotist, but in this case, really, we have now the proof of a very huge level of falsification and of the building of a fake narrative of what was the real situation.
You point out that Yanis Varoufakis, despite his radical and leftist profile, maintained friendships and close contact with such figures as the head of the Greek Conservative Party, Antonis Samaras, who was Prime Minister of Greece between 2012 and 2014, Yanis Tourounaras, who was the finance minister under the Samaras government during that period, and who is the current governor of the Bank of Greece, and George Papandreou, who led Greece into the austerity and memorandum regime in 2009 and 2010. Describe the nature of Varoufakis' relationships with these figures.
You know, Varoufakis is very happy to explain that he maintained and he developed a lot of relation with the traditional political class in Greece. In some way, his book is, when you read his book, you see that he is trying to convince leaders of the world that what he was proposing was something, what a better solution for everybody, but I would say almost including for the leaders of the world. And so he insists in saying that, including Samaras called him an evening after he criticized what was doing Papandreou, Samaras telling Varoufakis, I don't know you, but I liked very much what you have told to the Greek television and to the Greek public opinion, etc. So it showed that Varoufakis, it's a very, I would say, has a very complicated personality, because he, at the same time, he wants to be at the side of the oppressed people, and he said, I promised to my electors not to betray them, but at the same time he wanted to convince the leaders of the world and to maintain very good relation with everybody, with Tournaras, with Samaras, with Papandreou, with Christine Lagarde, with Schäuble, with Merkel, with Lord Lehman, and in the U.S., if you read the book, you will say he was very happy to be in a very good relation with Larry Summers and with Jeffrey Sachs. And people in the U.S. should know that who are these guys. Larry Summers was in charge of the Treasury of the U.S. and the Clinton administration at the end of the 90s, and he was responsible with Robert Rubin of the abrogation of the Glass-Steagall Act. Larry Summers, after that, was the director or president of the Harvard University and was totally, how do you say, machist in his declaration about the difference between men and women. Larry Summers, it's a right-wing Democrat, and Jeffrey Sachs, who was also a friend of Varoufakis, was responsible of the first shock therapy imposed to Bolivia in 85, and to the shock therapy imposed to Russia and to Poland at the beginning of the 90s. So it's really problematic to see this contradictory posture of Varoufakis.
We are on the air with Eric Toussaint of the International Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt and Scientific Director of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. In his book, Varoufakis goes on to say that he convinced Syriza to depart from its policy platform of 2012 and the Thessaloniki program of 2014. Instead, Varoufakis convinced Syriza to adopt his own set of economic proposals. For instance, Varoufakis seems to have proposed advocating for a debt restructuring instead of a debt reduction. What was Syriza originally proposing? What were Yanis Varoufakis' proposals, which were ultimately adopted? And why were Varoufakis' proposals, in your words, doomed to fail?
In the electoral campaign of 2012, Syriza succeeded to multiply, to increase his popular support. In the election of 2009, Syriza got 4% of the vote, and in June 2012, 26.5% of the vote. So it was very clear with the election of June 2012 that sometime in the future, Syriza will be the government of Greece. And they gained such a popular support in 2012 with a program very radical, telling if you elect us as government, we will suspend the payment of the debt and we will audit the debt to identify the illegitimate part of the Greek debt. They also say we will socialize or nationalize the Greek banks. They also say that they will put in practice a very radical fiscal policy and increase the taxes on the rich. And the Orthodox Church and the capitalists who are active in the chipman industry. So it was a radical program. And they say also, we will make no any more sacrifice for the euro. And Varoufakis was opposed to this orientation, and he explained how he succeeded to convince Alexis Tsipras and his narrow circle around him to moderate, to soften the program, and to say that it was not necessary to suspend the payment of the debt. It was possible to convince the creditors to restructure the debt without reduction of the debt and without suspension of payment. And he also told in his book that he convinced Tsipras that it was important to not to increase the taxes paid by the private sector, the big corporation, financial or industrial or commercial Greek corporation or foreign corporation based in Greece. So I would say the argument of Varoufakis is to tell us that he convinced Tsipras. What I say as a comment on his book is to say that at the same time, I would say Tsipras, after the election of June 2012, was also looking for people like Varoufakis who could help Tsipras to soften the program of Syriza, but not confronting openly Syriza leadership. So I would say they organize something like a shadow cabinet inside Syriza to prepare another program, not the official program, not the program of 2012, not the program of Thessaloniki, and they did that. And Varoufakis is explaining us that actually they did that against the official line of Syriza. And for me, at this level, Varoufakis had a huge responsibility in the capitulation that happened at the beginning of July 2015.
One of Yanis Varoufakis' proposals to the leaders of Syriza was to accept a primary budget surplus of up to 1.5% of GDP. For those unfamiliar with economics, what is a primary budget surplus, and why is it harmful for a country whose economy is in a depressed state, as is the case in Greece?
Okay, to have a primary positive surplus, you need to cut expenses. And it is clear that the type of expenses you can cut is social expenses and infrastructure investment. It's a primary positive surplus. It's to say that it is before paying the debt. When you say, I will guarantee as government a positive primary surplus, it is to use the surplus to pay the debt. You will not question the payment of the debt. When you guarantee a positive primary surplus. So the alternative would have been to say, as legitimate leftist government, we should have a fiscal deficit because we should use the money of the government to stimulate the recovery of the economic activity, and we should improve the condition of life of the population. And to improve the condition of life of the population, we need more money for health, we need more money for education, we need more money to create jobs. And so the position, the proposal of Varoufakis was coherent with the position of negotiation and of the Greek government to the creditors, and opposed to what would have been the correct position in front of the creditors.
Looking at Varoufakis today, one could say that he is a media darling of sorts. What accounts for Varoufakis' popularity in your view? Or to put it differently, where does Varoufakis' support derive from?
In the public, because in some way the dominant medias were diabolizing Varoufakis, it provoked, I would say, a sane reaction in the public opinion. They say, if the Schäuble, if Merkel, if Rajoy and the right-wing government are attacking Varoufakis, it signifies that Varoufakis is struggling to defend the real interest of the Greek population.
Yanis Varoufakis, as well as Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, have, for instance, spoken at the Brookings Institute, which is the well-known neoliberal Washington, D.C. think tank. Can such actions, in your opinion, be reconciled with their supposedly leftist and radical image?
I would say it is not really shocking, because you, as leftists, you can go to different places and take the floor. Personally, I don't like to do that, but we can understand that people who want to be government have to do some, have to give to some lectures to different publics. But at the same time, it is absolutely clear that Tsipras gave a priority to be invited by institution or authorities who were neoliberals, and he did that, and he keep on doing that because he wants absolutely to be recognized as a political leader, very responsible to the market and to the stability of the system. And in the case of Varoufakis, he wanted to give, I would say, more complex image, in some way provocating, but at the same time telling, yes, we need to reach a compromise, an agreement. And he also gave the absolute priority to invitation from right-wing or systemic institution. He is very clear, for instance, he liked very much Lord Lehman, conservative leader in UK, and he accepted several invitations from him And also he accepted exactly at the beginning of his experience as minister, he accepted immediately an invitation to go to London to give a speech to investors, to foreign investors. And it showed in this way that he and Tsipras, the main interlocutor, were creditors, capitalists, or government, because in his book he is also speaking a lot about the good relation he tried to build with China and Chinese authorities investing in Greece.
We are speaking with Eric Toussaint of the International Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt and Scientific Director of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. Let's turn now to the Greek Debt Audit Committee. You have been the scientific coordinator of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt since it was established in 2015. Has the Syriza-led government shown any intention of adopting the findings of the commission? And was there any point during your participation on this commission when you realized that perhaps the Syriza government's policies were going in a different direction from the work that you were doing?
I would say, frankly, since the beginning, when I spoke with the president of the Hellenic Parliament, Zoe Konstantopoulos, the 16th of February, I told her, I came to you, to the parliament, to make a proposal to you, launching an audit commission, and I can convince people from 10 different countries to work with no payment in favor of the Greek people and in favor of the truth about the debt. But telling that to Zoe, I added that I was convinced that Alexis Tsipras would not be enthusiastic with that proposal. And she told me, no problem, we will do that. I call Alexis and I will convince him. And she made immediately a press release mentioning our meeting on the 16th of February. She called Tsipras, and Tsipras officially told her, okay, do it. It's part of our program in 2012. Do it, and do it with Eric Toussaint. It's okay. And when we had the first meeting of the commission, it was the 4th of April 2015 in the Greek parliament, Alexis Tsipras came at the beginning of the inaugural session. The president of the republic came also. And so officially, they show their support. And almost all the members of the government came also to the parliament on the 4th of April, including Varoufakis. But it was clear for me that Varoufakis was not in favor of really supporting the commission, and the same from Tsipras. Zoe was convinced because she was a friend, a political friend, and a friend of Tsipras, and she was convinced that he was sincere when he was telling her that he wanted to support our work. Several weeks later, it was very clear that Tsipras, neither Varoufakis were open to publicly, in front of the medias, mention the work of the commission. They never, when they traveled a lot to Brussels, and Varoufakis traveled several times to Washington to meet Christine Lagarde, the general director of the IMF, and they never questioned the legitimacy of the debt. So for me, it was very clear that they were in some way forced by the president of the parliament to express an official support, but at the same time, it was very clear that they didn't want to radicalize their position. So I did this work with the 30 members of the commission. The work done by the commission, I would say, it's more than 1,500 or 2,000 hours work in 8 weeks for 30 persons. We worked a lot of day and night to produce a very efficient and rigorous report. And my expectation was that there was some possibility that several ministers of the government, the ministers of the left platform, jointly with the way and the pressure from the streets, I would say, or the other radical left and trade union left, the action of them could make pressure on the government to use our work. But I was not really very optimistic because I was very well informed about what Varoufakis was doing with his team of advisors. And I was receiving clear information about the concession he was ready to give to the creditors. But I don't regret to have done this work. And people who participated to that, people from France, Spain, Greece, Ecuador, Brazil, UK, Belgium, these people are very proud to have done this work, and they are convinced that because we have done a very serious work, it will be useful in the future, in Greece, but also in other parts of the world, because in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, in Slovenia, in other countries, people are reading this our report, are asking us a lot of questions, are trying to implement the same methodology to the specific case in their own country. So I'm sure it will be useful.
We are on the air with Eric Dusen of the International Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt, CADTM, and Scientific Director of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt, here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. Describe for us the findings and conclusions that were published in the report of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt, and also the recommendations made by the Commission.
First, in the two first chapters, we analyzed the building of the Greek public and private debt before the crisis. So we explained what happened in the year 1990 and in the 10 first year of the 21st century. And we showed that the accumulation of debt was linked with huge amount of military expenses stimulated by the US government, the French and the German government, who are the main sellers of weapons to Greece. We showed also that the interest rate paid by Greece in the at the end of the 20th century increased a lot the debt, as in different other peripheral countries. Additionally, we showed the responsibility of the PASOK and New Democracy previous government in giving a tax gift to the rich, which reduced the government revenue and forced the government to finance its budget by debt. And we showed also that the debt increased after the adhesion of Greece to the Eurozone, because a lot of money came from the German and French, etc., investors. After that, in the chapter 3, 4, we showed the transformation of the debt from the Troika first memorandum, when the private lenders were replaced by public lenders, the Troika, the European Commission, 14 different states of the Eurozone, and the IMF, and the EC, and the European Central Bank. And we showed that they do that to bail out the private banks, foreign and national, and not in the interest of the people. And we showed and we demonstrate that they add conditionalities to the new loans, conditionalities which were violating international treaties on economic, social, cultural, civil and political rights. So we demonstrate the fact that the debt to the Troika was an odious debt. It means a debt accumulated against the interest of the people, and the creditors or lenders knowing that they were giving loans against the interest of the people. And in the case of the Troika, it was absolutely clear because they were dictating to the Greek government exactly the conditionalities. They were telling the government which law to change, which law, new law to adopt, what type of reduction of wages, what type of reduction of pensions, what privatization. So they were not only accomplices of violation, but they were direct commanders. They were the initiators of the violation. After that, we in the report, we were demonstrating the clear impact on the condition of life of the Greek population. And so we were naming in the chapter 5 a concrete international treaty and which article has been violated by the conditionalities imposed by the Troika. And in the last two chapters, we explain in juridical terms why the debt, the Greek debt to the Troika, should be considered as illegitimate, as odious, as illegal, and as unsustainable. Our conclusion was to say that the Greek government has perfectly the right to suspend the payment of the debt, to question the debt, and also to repudiate a part of the debt identified as odious. So it was a very strong audit with strong conclusion. Important lawyers helped us as members of the commission to write the conclusion based on international law and Greek domestic law. And it is clear that should have Varoufakis and Tsipras used this report, they would have very strong argument against the creditors and to give another issue, a positive issue to the conflict with the creditors in place of capitulating in front of them in July 2015.
Is the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt still active today? And by extension, how is the CADTM active today on the issue of the Greek debt?
The Debt Truth Committee was dissolved by the president, the new president of the parliament, Mr. Voutsis, during the months of October 2015. We were opposed to this dissolution, and so we decided collectively to transform ourselves in an independent association with the same name. And we active now as Debt Truth Committee, recognized by the Greek law. And we met several times in the last 2 years. We met once in the European Parliament, invited by several members of the European Parliament, members of French, Greek, German and Spanish European parliamentaries who are supporting our work. And we had several meetings in Greece, not in the parliament because we are not anymore invited, but in the office of the Lawyers Greek Association. And there were a lot of Greek citizens who came to this to the public part of our meeting. Several of us published different articles. I published a book in Greek last July with several new materials about the debt, the Greek debt. And we also realized several videos and a movie. The title of the movie is Audit, and it's a 26 minutes movie, very interesting. I recommend to you to use it. I think I have to check, but I think that very soon it will be with English spoken subtitle, and it's already translated in Greece by Zoe Konstantopoulos. So we are keeping on with our work. It is clear that we are not supported by the government. The right-wing press are making silence about our work, but we have a significant echo in the Greek social movement and radical left organization, mostly Popular Unity and Cause of Freedom.
In looking at Greece over the years of the economic crisis, we've often heard that Greece has been given all of this money by the Troika, insinuating that the money was simply given away to Greece. In reality, though, where have most of the so-called bailout funds ended up?
It's absolutely clear that more than 90% of the loans given to Greece went back outside Greece to pay back the banks, the private banks, and the public creditors, or to bail out the Greek banks. So more than 90%. So less than 10% has been used by the regular government as an input to the budget. But they use that to promote the neoliberal policy. So this money also was used against the interest of the Greek people, because it was used to finance privatization, to finance layoff of thousands of public servants, etc.
We are speaking with Eric Toussen of the International Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt and Scientific Director of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. What options does Greece have available to it under domestic law, European law, and international law today with regards to the public debt and also with regards to the potential abolition or overturning of the austerity measures and memorandum-related policies such as privatizations which have followed?
There's something very concrete that could be done with the Greek bonds owned by the European Central Bank. The European Central Bank bought Greek bonds in 2010, 11, and 12 at a discount price, a discount of 30%. So they bought Greek public bonds at a nominal value of, for instance, 100 euros, and they bought that at the price of 70 euros. After that, after the haircut restructuration of 2012, the European Central Bank refused to be part of the haircut. So now the European Central Bank is demanding Greece to pay back the full amount of the Greek bonds they bought at a discount price, the full nominal value of the bonds, and with very high interest rate of 6.5% interest rate, when you know that the ECB is lending money to the private banks at zero interest rate. So what could do Greek government is to change the statute of the Greek bonds, because they are still under the jurisdiction of Greece. And so the Greek government could say, we make a haircut of 50 or 80% on these Greek bonds to reduce the payment, because we want to use the money in favor of the Greek people interest. So it would be possible to do that. Tsipras can do that, or another government can do that. First point. Second point, what should complementarily do a government who would like to really help the Greek people interest would be to, on the basis of our audit, to take another unilateral sovereign action of repudiation of other part of the debt. It is clear that this would provoke a verbal huge reaction, but you know, since 7 years, since the first memorandum of 2010, in a permanent way, the creditors have criticized the Greek government, the Greek population, show the Greek population as lazy and as delinquent at the level of taxes payment. And I think that they cannot, as creditors, do more pain to the Greek people that they have already done. So it's only struggling with dignity, affirming the popular sovereignty in the interest of the Greek population, that a legitimate government can find an issue in favor of the general interest of the population, and not only the Greek people interest, but humanity, I would say. We need justice. And if there is no justice for the Greek people, there will be no justice for other people in Europe and outside the world. We have to launch and to expand the struggle to oppose illegitimate and odious debt all over the world.
Debt, of course, is not just a Greek or European problem. Total world debt is said to be over $230 trillion at this time. Is the current global economic model sustainable under such conditions, in your view?
No, it's not sustainable. And as you certainly know, the IMF in the last 2 weeks, but also the Bank of International Settlement, it is the bank of the big central banks. This organism is based in Basel, in Switzerland. Several institutions are saying there are new bubbles. These bubbles has been provoked by an inflation of the price of assets, with the massive injection of liquidities decided by the big European central banks like the US Federal Reserve or the European Central Bank or the Bank of England. And in the next months or years, it will provoke a new financial crisis. Exactly when it will happen, we don't know. It can happen in 1 week or in 6 months or in 1 year. Certainly, it will happen with a stock exchange crash and a crash on the market of obligation emitted by private corporation and also sovereign debt. Where it will explode it? Wall Street, London, Paris, Frankfurt, we don't know. Maybe Beijing, but it will explode in the next future. And this model of huge global debt, which is accumulated in favor of speculative activities and to enrich the riches, will end by a new general crisis. Not a terminal crisis of capitalism, because capitalism, the metabolism of capitalism is made with such financial crisis since the beginning of the 19th century. But this type of crisis provoke generally a very huge amount of pain to the majority of the population. So we should be conscious of what capitalism is preparing for the population of the world. And we have to combine a struggle against illegitimate debt and And to combine that with other demands about private banks, about taxes, against climate change, in favor of social justice, we should have a comprehensive program of emancipation. I'm sure that when we see the popular support of Sanders, Bernie Sanders' proposal or Corbyn proposal in UK on a proposal coming from leftist forces in Spain or Portugal, it showed that an important part of the population, like in Greece in 2015, is convinced that we need to give a radical turn opposing the capitalist model.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos interview series, and for coming back to our program and sharing your analysis and insights with us.
It was a pleasure, and I liked very much your question, Michael. They were very useful. Thank you.
Follow the Alagos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/thealagosmedia and at twitter.com/thealagosmedia. Find the Alagos Radio's programming in iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Alagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere in iTunes, iPhones, iPads, and on Apple TV. Check us out today in Apple Podcasts and in iTunes Internet Radio.
We just wrapped up the Alagos interview series and our discussion with Eric Toussaint of the Greek Truth Commission on Public Debt and the Committee for the Abolition of Third World Debt, or CADTM. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, thealagosmedia.org, in our Android and Kindle apps, and in Apple Podcasts, TuneIn.com, and other podcast directories. Coming up in 2 weeks on the next English language edition of the Alagos Radio is our special holiday edition featuring an interview with and the music of talented Greek musician and singer Mikaela Darmani. Until then, be sure to visit our website, thealagosmedia.org, where you can find our articles and written work, including our recently published interviews in Mint Press News with former member of the Greek Statistical Authority, or ELSTAT, Nikos Logothetis, blowing the whistle on how Greece's deficit and debt figures were falsified to lead Greece into the austerity and memorandum regime, and giving us an update on the court cases which have followed these allegations, and our other interview with Dimitris Yiannopoulos, journalist and former press aide to Yanis Varoufakis when Varoufakis was finance minister of Greece in the first half of 2015, a very revealing interview detailing how the agreements that Varoufakis made led Greece into further austerity. Until next time, for the Alagos Radio, this is Michael Nevradakis. Thanks for joining us. TheAlagosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from the Alagos Radio, live streaming of the Alagos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlagosMedia.org.